One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
not able to go under 55 miles an hour. This bus will explode. We're on a time crunch today, folks.
Cans. It was full of cans.
Scott is on his dinner break. And so we have got to get going, and we're gonna Keanu and Sandra Bullock this shit. And it's actually kind of appropriate because you have been told that you look like Keanu Reeves, and I have been told that I look like Sandra Bullock. So,
you know, I never really thought about that before.
Why would you?
Well, have we ever been in a bus together?
Yes, like a million times.
Has that bus ever been speeding out of control?
No, not to... Well, I mean, yes, at the MTA, for sure.
Yeah, but, like, I guess that's true.
Anyway. we on that time crunch.
It's that all-speed tribute episode.
It's the one you've been waiting for, everybody. I'm hoping sincerely that this kind of not artificial, this actual constraint on our time will mean that this is going to be the best intro, because, like, you know, you can't make a diamond without pressure. And
right.
So, like, I really want us to nail this intro, because we're so bad at doing them when we record remotely.
We are typically butt lumps of coal in your ears.
We are butt lumps.
We are butt lumps of coal, and we are going to make a shiny diamond for you to listen to.
We're lumps of coal that are shaped like butts. We are butt lumps of coal.
And what do we do as butt lumps of coal, Shannon?
Well, as butt lumps of coal, we make every week a song about a random topic from Wikipedia in a random style of music from moodfuse.com.
And as you were describing that, I ate a couple bites of my dinner. Efficiency yes. Achieved.
Excellent. I love this. I think we should always do this. It gets my blood pumping.
Go. All right. Well, we have a salad spinner suggestion this week from Translocation Man.
At Matthew RMCD. At Matthew RMCD. Thank you for your salad spinner suggestion, which, for any new listeners out there, is the noise we make while we hit the random button on Moodfuse and Wikipedia.
And the suggestion this week is...
Your best impression of a walrus, says Translocation Man.
Now, this is interesting because walrus, or walry, are usually most recognizable visually rather than auditorially.
Yes, they are definitely an animal that you can identify by sight. Indeed, indeed, that is how most animals work.
Well, but it's not like, you know, the little wheel that you play with as a toddler that's like, the cow says. Like, walrus is not featured there.
But you know what a walrus sounds like, don't you? Like, you know what a stereotypical walrus sounds like, right?
Not really, no.
Really?
Well, I mean, isn't it just like a seal?
It's like a wolf.
Why don't you demonstrate, Shannon, and we'll spin the salad spinner.
Okay, let's spin the salad spinner. Here's my best impression of a walrus. Thank you, Matthew RMCD. Okay.
Orp.
That's disturbingly great.
Thank you. That's on my resume. Devastatingly competent, disturbingly great.
Disturbingly great.
Shannon Deep, give me a call.
I got healing music.
Healing music?
Healing music.
Hell yes. Okay.
It redirects on Wikipedia to New Age, but we haven't done that either, right?
No, I don't think so. We've done like things that are kind of New Agey.
We did meditation music, but that's a little bit different.
And we did Enya.
Yeah. So today, healing music.
Healing music. Thank you, Moodfuse.
This is good. This is a nice relaxing way to spend my dinner break before I got to go back to a couple more hours of tech rehearsal, and I'll be relaxed, recharged, and healed.
And so will all of you, our listeners, by eating our nutritive salad of healing.
And let's just preface this by saying, if you were turned off or traumatized by our meditation music episode, this time we'll actually write a real song.
Will we, though? I don't think you can promise that.
I'm going to shoot for it.
Our meditation music episode is one of my very favorite episodes that we've done.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't have my practice chanter with me here in San Diego.
Oh, darn it. You could just go find a goose and step on it.
Or just play your walrus sound.
Yeah, you can just run that through your logic program and it'll figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's read about...
Tell me about... Yeah.
Yeah. So New Age music, which healing music falls under the category of, is a genre of music intended to create artistic inspiration, relaxation, and optimism. It is used by listeners for yoga, massage, and meditation, reading as a method of stress management to bring about a state of ecstasy rather than trance, interesting and specific, or to create a peaceful atmosphere in the home or other environments, and it is associated with environmentalism and New Age spirituality. New Age music includes both acoustic forms, featuring instruments such as flutes, piano, acoustic guitar, and a variety of non-Western acoustic instruments, and electronic forms, frequently relying on sustained synth pads or long sequencer-based runs. Vocal arrangements were initially rare in the genre, but as it has evolved, vocals have become more common, especially those featuring, Native American, Sanskrit, or Tibetan-influenced chants, or lyrics based on mythology, such as Celtic legends. Yes, 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 give it all to me.
Okay. Here's why we're going to shine with this. There is no exact definition of New Age music, according to Wikipedia.
We're good at that.
In an article in Billboard magazine in 1987... there's the quote, New Age music may be the most startling, successful, non-defined music ever to hit the public consciousness.
I think we can just repurpose that review and use it about Song Salad.
I was just going to say that. I was like, that should be our, like, you know, log line on our podcast is the most startling, successful, non-defined music ever to hit the public consciousness. It's so good. Many consider it it to be an umbrella term for marketing rather than a musical category. So fair enough. I get that. But I think we all kind of know what this stuff sounds like.
Yeah. Yanni, Enya.
Yeah.
Just kind of like that background music you hear in a spa.
Yeah. Very, very like atmospheric.
Right.
And like lots of like Tibetan singing bowls or whatever. Right. And yeah.
And I'm looking at the list of typical instruments on the side of the page here, and I'm really excited because it includes found sounds, which include bird song, whale song, and waterfalls.
Oh, thank God.
And then natural soundscapes and tintinabulation. You know that word? Mm-hmm. Tintinabulation.
I do know that word. And do you know why I know that word?
Because of Tintinabula, you know, and Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Yep, you got it.
And tintinabulation, if you don't know, is the lingering sound of a ringing bell that occurs after the bell has been struck. And the word was invented by Edgar Allan Poe and was used in the first stanza of his poem, The Bells.
In a sort of runic rhyme to the tintinabulation that so musically wells from the bells, 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 from the jingling and the tinkling of the bells.
That's great.
Thanks, Edgar.
I think we should find an example.
Yeah, I think we should too.
We should find one that has vocals.
Does Yanni have vocals?
I don't know. Unless he's, like, collaborated with...
I'm Googling Yanni with vocals. I guess I have to be kind of careful about Googling the word Yanni.
Why?
Because isn't it also, like, a term for a vagina?
What?
Yeah, a yoni.
I've never heard that.
Hold on. I definitely didn't make this up. Yeah, it's yoni, but it me oh, it's spelled differently, but it's pronounced yoni. So it's Y-O-N-I. It's a Sanskrit word.
Oh.
And it means womb, uterus, vagina, vulva, abode, or source.
Abode. That's great.
Yes.
Our example song is, what is the title here? It's, Om Bhagavan?
Bhagavan.
Om Bhagavan. From the album Sharanam, Sacred Chants of Devotion, by Manish Damore, sung by Suda. Did any of that make sense?
Just play the music.
Here it is.
That's a really good example of what we should be trying to emulate.
I think so. It's got the electronic pad synthesizer kind of sounds. It's got the really soothing, reverby vocals. Nothing is moving too quickly or catching your ear off guard. It's just kind of zen.
And it's also, she's on a label that is specifically for new age healing music, that's for relaxation, massage, yoga, healing arts, meditation, spas. Like, their whole label, Malimba Records, is like all music that is all about this.
I bet they make a ton of money.
Oh my gosh, of course they do. Every freaking massage parlor in the United States has to order one of their CDs.
Has to. By law.
Yeah, it's like in your articles of incorporation when you start your massage parlor. Okay.
All right. Do you want to get a topic?
Yeah, let's get our topic. And it is your turn to make a walrus noise.
Okay. Here we go. I'm Winston Churchill.
Oh, come on. Winston Churchill?
I don't know. Who else looks like a walrus?
Wilford Brimley looks like a walrus.
Let's do it again.
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
I'm William Howard Taft.
Okay, there you go. That's good.
They have the same voice.
Yes. They're both British for some reason. I got the Vela Supercluster.
Ooh.
The Vela Supercluster, or Vela SCI, or VSCL. Oh, I guess that's a CL, but the L is lowercase. I don't know. Is a massive galactic supercluster about 265.5 megaparsecs, 870 million light years away, within the vicinity of the zone of avoidance of the Milky Way, centered on the constellation Vela. Yeah, definitely clicking zone of avoidance because I don't know what that is. It is one of the largest structures found in the universe, covering about 25 by 20 degrees of the sky. I don't know how big that is. I'm guessing
it sounds big.
Does it? 25 by 20?
Degrees of the whole sky?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a big percentage.
I guess so. It consists of two walls, a broad main wall and a secondary merging wall. No idea what that means. The combined dimensions of the wall, I'm not going to read what that is because it doesn't mean anything to me. It is about 1,000 times the mass of the Milky Way galaxy.
Jeez.
About 20 initial galaxy clusters have been identified spectroscopically. Okay, so it's this enormous supercluster of galaxies.
Yeah.
That are really far away. they're in the zone of avoidance, which is...
Yeah, I just looked at that.
Do you want to say what it is?
So when you're looking at space from the Earth, the like...
Which is the only way to look at space.
Well, unless you're like the Hubble telescope or something.
I guess that's true.
The interstellar dust and stars and stuff in the plane of the Milky Way, also known as the galactic plane, obstruct the view of about 20% of the extragalactic sky at visible wavelengths. So when you're just observing, like trying to look through and past the Milky Way from Earth, you can't see 20% of what you're trying to look at. And optical galaxy catalogs are incomplete close to this galactic plane. And I guess the Vela supercluster is in this galactic plane.
Gotcha. So it's like when you look in your rear view mirror and there's a car behind you, so you can't see the car behind that car.
Yeah. Or
but you can see
intergalactic
the
dust behind you, so you can't see the car behind that.
I'm just trying to bring it down to Earth for everybody.
So this is okay. Fitting.
Yeah, this is very fitting. It's spacey and woo-woo and whatever.
Woo-woo, exactly.
Spacey and woo-woo and whatever.
The paper that reported the discovery of the Vela supercluster described it as terra incognita, which means unknown land in Latin. And it's an unknown great continent in the nearby universe whose outline we are only beginning to discern. So it's like, it's still kind of a mystery too, like what it's all made of and about and like exactly how big it is and how many galaxies are contained within it, etc. So,
and it's also pretty, this discovery is pretty recent. So it says that the supercluster's discovery was reported in late December 2016. So like 5 months ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is like, new. We are breaking this shit open.
Yes. We are bringing this information to the public because
except if you were already interested in this.
I guess.
Yeah. NASA's got bigger things to worry about, like its continued existence under this administration. So.
Womp womp.
Yeah.
Well, let's heal people.
Let's heal people through the Vela supercluster.
What are your initial thoughts? Let's like, since we're doing our speed tribute episode, like, let's just spitball right now. Like, what do you think of with this Vela supercluster? What are you thinking, like, from a narrative perspective, or is it more just a soundscape? Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, like, I think soundscape is good, but I think like finding a couple sort of like rhythmic meditative lines that can kind of like be repeated.
Like mantras?
Yeah, like mantras would be really good. My initial impression is let's go there. Let's go to the Vela supercluster. Let's astral project. Let's send our energies out to the Vela cluster and just find out what it's all about out there.
Come journey with us.
Yeah. Let's go on a trip.
An interstellar walkabout. Fly about.
Yeah, let's go. It's an interstellar, interdimensional, interpersonal journey. A commune.
Super cluster.
The universe.
Super healing.
Yeah.
Super relaxation.
We're going to mess this up really bad.
Yeah, we're gonna screw this up. But so, you know, my initial thought that I think might be really cool if I can find the right source material. Yeah. You know how you can like record space audio?
Yes! I was hoping this is where you were going to go with this sentence. Yes, I do.
I wonder, first of all, I wonder if I can find any like audio from the Vela supercluster. Mm. But since it's so new, maybe not. If I can't find that, I'll just find some space audio that sounds cool.
You can also, we just saw a film at the Tribeca Film Festival, which was so good. It was called The Farthest, and it was about the Voyager space mission. And it was like the first documentary that's ever been made about the Voyager space mission, or at least the most comprehensive. And it was, first of all, fascinating and incredible. Second of all, really well done. And third of all, they recorded like the sound of planets as they passed them.
Whoa.
So you can actually get recordings of like what Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune sound like. And it's really...
And Neptune's just like, what's up, guys?
Wow! It's they all sound like Ewoks for some reason.
Watch me spin on my axis.
I'm so far away.
I'm a big old gas giant.
So gassy.
Toot toot, am I right?
As the Voyager passed, it was like, got any Beano? Trailing up. Yeah, but they were really cool. And you might, I mean, if all else fails, you might be able to find some recordings of like what the planet sounded like.
Yeah, I'll look for what I think is the most like soothing and interesting kind of space sounds that I can layer on top of each other and then add some electronic synthesizer pad elements, maybe add some nature sounds that sound a little spacey, and then definitely some kind of metallic bell-like instruments and things.
Finger cymbals
as well. Yeah, finger cymbals. That's great.
Okay, so let's get to writing.
All right. So first things first, I could not find any sound recorded from the VLO supercluster.
Okay. I mean, not surprising, I suppose.
I mean, part of that is because it's like really far away.
Yeah. I believe that.
What I did find is NASA has publicly released audio from each of the planets in our solar system, which you mentioned in your description of the documentary. The sounds that were recorded are the interactions of charged electromagnetic particles from the solar wind ionosphere and planetary magnetosphere. Okay. So they're sort of like radio emissions from the planets that are then converted into sound waves. So I listened to all of these recordings, and the ones that I found most fascinating and appropriate for us are the sounds of Venus and Pluto.
Okay. So
Venus has a really nice, like, low drone kind of a sound. So I'm going to...
I've always thought that about Venus.
Yeah. I'm going to play an example of it for you here.
Cool.
And Pluto has sort of a like bell-like ringing, almost like a Tibetan singing bowl kind of sound to it, which is cool.
Oh.
So this is what Pluto sounds like.
That sounds like, it sounds like if you heard a very loud noise and then you had like tinnitus, if you had like ringing in your ear.
Tintinnabulation.
Yes.
So I'm going to layer those two sounds on top of each other. I'm going to add a synth pad, which will create the actual like tonality of the song and be like a nice soothing texture underneath. And the names of these synthesizer pads in Logic are always really fun. So I went for a spacey one, and I found one called Orbiting Jupiter. That sounds really cool.
Ooh.
So we're using Orbiting Jupiter. We're going to be using Tibetan singing bowls, like I mentioned. And if you don't know what that is, you've probably seen them. They're like usually brass-colored or golden bowls that you hold in one hand, and then you have a wooden, like a thick wooden stick, and you can strike it, or you can run the stick around the rim of the bowl, and it will create a sustained sound. And then finally, I'm going to use some sitar, because all the examples we've found have sitar in them. And then the vocals, which we'll talk about a little bit more when you get into your lyrics, I guess.
Yeah. So we... In thinking about like what kind of song we wanted to write, one of the types of meditation, healing, music are these things called devotional mantras. And they actually remind me of, remember when we did Ode to the Glorious Pig Dog Sheep?
Oh, yes, I do.
When we had like poetry, we basically had like slam poetry or whatever, beat poetry as our genre. There is this kind of like invocation of a higher power, and a devotional anything is asking for some kind of blessing or ability or power or grace or what have you from a higher power. And so in this case, what I wanted to do was use the Vela supercluster as the like higher power, basically. Since it's like, you know, a big representation of like the grandness of the universe. And so the lyrics, which are just a devotional, and it, like, and a lot of the devotionals that I read just start with Om, which is like always a good place to start, I guess.
It's a great place to
with
start.
A mantra.
It's just like Julie Andrews used to sing. Let's start at the very beginning with Om. A very good place to start. Om.
Yeah, and then that whole, and that was like the first take of it. And then they were like, oh man, I really think it's lacking something. Like any kind of variability in pitch. Like, right. Can we try it again?
And then Julie was like, give me a beat.
Yeah. Give me a beat. And she turned into like an old New York gangster and she yelled, give me a beat. Yeah. So, and the devotionals that I saw also, they function more like prayers than they do lyrics. So just keep that in mind that it's not going to read like a verse and a chorus. It's kind of like a sung or chanted prayer that gets repeated.
Yeah. So I think that works well too, because there's no real separation in like verse or chorus structure in the music either. It's just kind of a continuous soundscape.
Yes. So here are my lyrics. So we start with an Om, Vela, far from our native sun, unobservable, unknowable, unimaginable, from your distance and great stature, grant me the vision to understand my ultimate place in the order of all things.
Wow.
So it's a prayer for perspective, and also sort of implicitly a prayer for purpose. So to understand not just how small you are, but also that you are, that you trust that you are in the right place in the order of all things in the vastness of the universe.
I'm speechless.
Yeah, it got a little sincere for an episode that started out as a metaphor for speed with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock, didn't it?
Well, I was going to say, you know, exactly how you described those feelings that Vela inspires in us, I get those feelings from the movie Speed with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. Whenever my life is seemingly strewn about, and I think that the pieces are unable to be picked up, I just remember cans. It was full of cans.
Oh, God. We're idiots. We can't be sincere for 4 seconds. Okay. So does that work with kind of what you have planned, the lyrics?
Yeah, honestly, it's more lyric than I was anticipating, but I think it'll work great.
Okay, cool. And I think also we sort of talked about this off air, but I think it makes more sense for me to sing it, since it appears that, well, of course, there are some male singers in New Age and healing music. It seems like it's a lot of women. I think that's just like our association with like feminine voices being soothing in a certain way. I'm about to speculate, so sound the speculation alarm or whatever.
Hot take.
But I think there's also, I think there's also, culturally speaking, a strong association with women in healing and being healers and caretakers, not just being like obviously mothers, but also usually being, you know, in like, especially non-Westernized cultures, the keeper of medicine usually, and healing and that kind of practice in the community. So I don't know. That's me kind of going out on a limb as to why healing and meditation music, or why we might think of women's voices being comforting and soothing as opposed to men's voices.
Hashtag yes, all women are shaman priestesses.
Hashtag problematic. Okay. great. Cool. So I'm gonna sing this.
We should say the title and introduce the song.
Yeah. The obvious is Om Vila. And I think that that seems to be the standard for like naming a mantra or devotional, is like, it's just like the first couple words or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of like, isn't that like how madrigals are named sometimes?
Usually, yeah. A lot of times because they didn't have a title, so it's easier to refer to them by their first couple words.
Yeah, so I think Om Vila makes the most sense, unless you have a better one.
Maybe like Om Keanu, or...
We can call it Om Keanu.
Or like, Bullock, hear my prayer.
Bullock, God. Like, Om at 55 miles an hour. 55 miles an hour through the universe.
Space bus.
Space bus! There we go. Found it.
I think maybe we could just call the episode Space Bus, and the song will be Om Vila.
Okay, great. This is episode Space Bus with song Om Vila.
A healing song.
By Shannon and Scott. Like fast forward version of our show. It's great.
I know, we should focus all the time.
I know.
Do you feel healed?
I always feel healed after a conversation with you, Scott.
Aww. That's problematic too. You should see a therapist.
I know, but seriously, come home.
It's getting close.
Yeah, it is getting close.
I'm about a month and 3 days out from coming home.
Ugh, so long, so.
I know.
No, it was a very, like, that was a very relaxing, like, I would get a massage to that song.
I would get a massage to any song.
I would pretty much get a massage to any song, let's be real. I'm not picky about how I get my massages.
And it's better than our meditation song, because it didn't have a loud interruption in the middle of it.
By loud interruption, do you mean us not being able to take it seriously anymore?
It helped that we didn't have to record this one live.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I feel like if we had been together, things go a lot slower anyway when we're together, because there are a lot more tangents and sort of like dead ends that we go down. But yeah, it definitely helps when we're doing something like a little out of the ordinary to not be together. Yeah, for sure.
But if you remember, the point of meditation music was the live performance of it, so I'm glad that we got a genre that accepts studio production.
Yes, that's very true. And speaking of accepting production.
What?
Yeah, no, that was a bad transition. I just wanted to point people to loyal listener Ben Silver.
Yeah, that was a terrible transition.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to you. I'm sorry to Ben. I'm sorry to everybody listening. So last week, if you remember, Scott and I both tried to do, for our salad spinner suggestion from at Sedate Snail, we tried to do Kermit the Frog impressions singing the Space Jam theme song. And we were, I would say, middlingly successful, but
if that had been our speed episode, the bus would have blown up.
Yeah, definitely would have blown up. I would watch that movie.
The bus is going to crash and blow up if you don't do a great Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. and then everyone looks at us and it's like, oh no. But Ben Silver became incredibly indignant about the quality of our Kermit the Frog impression. And Ben, if you might remember, we know Ben because he contacted us to and he made a donation to our what was it called? Give our, forward.
Just say we wrote him a U-ton.
Yeah, we wrote him a U-ton. He contributed to our Give Forward campaign and we wrote him a U-ton. And he decided to make a video of himself doing his very good Kermit the Frog impression, which you can see on our Twitter. We've retweeted it like 4 times. It's also on our Facebook page because we push the tweet to there as well. But he legit can do a Kermit the Frog impression and he sings the Space Jam theme. So it's very good.
It is V good AF.
Yeah, V good AF. Thank you very much, Ben Silver. Thank you also to Translocation Man, Matthew RCDW.
You have trouble with that one.
I don't remember. Like, why are there random letters after your name, Matthew? Matthew RMCD.
He's going to be like, those letters belong to my grandmother.
Yeah.
How dare you call them random?
In my country, these letters denote me as the next heir to the throne. and so thank you, Translocation Man, for his song, Salad. Every time, Salad Spinner suggestion of doing an impression of a walrus. We have a couple more coming up that we got this past week, but we're always looking for more. If you have a Salad Spinner suggestion, please send it our way via Twitter. And if we ever miss you, just tweet it at us again and we'll get around to it. I promise.
I'd also like to thank my brother, David, for tweeting at Jeremy Piven last week.
Yeah, he definitely did do that, didn't he?
Well, yeah, luckily we did not get a response. We did, however, he also tweeted at Stephen Lynch because we were remiss in we didn't mention Stephen Lynch when we talked about comedy rock artists. Dave tweeted at Stephen Lynch as well, and Stephen Lynch liked the tweet.
Yeah, we're flying dangerously close to the sun here, folks, of somebody discovering what we do or something we've said that is unfavorable to them and being way more famous and influential than we are and totally torpedoing us. But until then, like, let it ride. Yeah.
Yeah. And if we do fly close to the sun, at least now I already know what it sounds like from those NASA videos and I know what to expect. So
follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast. Subscribe. And if you give us a review on iTunes, we'll give you a shout out on the podcast. It helps other people find us and we really appreciate reviews.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
cans. Cans. It was full of cans.
We blew up. The last second we blew up.
Record a podcast, blow up.
Home feel. far from our gut. Hold on, starting over, starting over. Fuck. Well, fuck. I hope you can get something out of that.